ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم. محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any of your men. ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. He is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. And Allah knows all things. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once said, My example in comparison with the other prophets before me is that of a man who has built a house beautifully, except for a place of one brick in a corner. In other words, all the other prophets were like a building which just lacked one brick. The people go about it and wonder at its beauty, but say, Would that this brick were put in its place. So I am that brick and I am the last of the prophets. Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets. When do we seal a letter? When we have nothing more to say. When we reach the end. When does someone say, I am the last? What does the last mean? That none will come after me. Now some people object, well, what about Isa alayhi salam then? We find that Isa alayhi salam will come. Yes, but he will come to implement the Quran and the Sunnah. He will not bring another Sharia. We find in more than 100 ahadith he will come, but when he comes, he won't bring a new way of life. He won't teach us a new way of praying. He will come and implement this Quran and this Sunnah. And he too will be like one of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now some people claim there have been many false prophets after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that once in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, someone claimed false prophethood and said, I'll give you proofs of my prophethood. And Imam Abu Hanifa said, if anyone even ascertains the proofs, even bothers to listen to the proofs, he is a kafir. Why? When we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, what are we saying? There is only one Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last messenger of Allah. Now there are some people who fell into the trap devised by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad and they claim, no, he was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he is Masih, like the Messiah. We need to know that in the ahadith predicting the coming of Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us categorically that when Isa alayhi salam comes, how will we know? Like people say, well, how will we know that it's Isa alayhi salam? That Christianity will be abolished, eliminated completely. And all deen will become for Allah. In other words, everyone will become a Muslim. Now that has not happened as yet. So we know that Isa alayhi salam has not still come. And Allah concludes the ayat, Allah knows everything. He knows all the imposters who have claimed prophethood and He knows those people who are foolish enough to believe in them. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have iman, uzkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah with much remembrance. Look at the theme of this surah. Again and again Allah says, remember Allah. The way we remember Allah, that we only read Subhanallah 33 times and Alhamdulillah 33 times and Allahu Akbar 34 times and oh wow, I've really remembered Allah a lot today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do as much zikr as you can, even if people call you a show-off or people call you mad. وَصَّبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Don't be content just to restrict your zikr to one zikr of Allah. Glorify His praises morning and evening. Why? هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكُمْ. It is Allah who sends His blessings on you. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because He is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Creator. He is the Nourisher, the Sustainer. And His angels too, that He may bring you out from darknesses into light. See how Allah wants to bring women into the light of true enlightenment, where they are truly granted their rights, not oppressed, not exploited, whether sexually or financially. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And He is ever most merciful to the believers. تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ السَّلَامُ. Their greeting on the day they shall meet Him will be peace. And He has prepared for them a beautiful reward. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent you as a witness and as a bringer of good news and as a warner and as one who invites to Allah by His leave and as a lamp spreading light. Subhanallah. In this surah we get to discover what a rahmah, what a mercy, what a gift of love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been, not just for the Muslims, rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy for all the worlds. And that's why he was the last prophet. Because his prophethood was not confined to the Arabian Peninsula. His prophethood was not confined to a particular group of people. Allah says that we have sent you for all of mankind. And announce to the believers the good news that they will have from Allah a great bounty. But the believers aren't interested in seeking this good news because the believers aren't ready for the Quran. وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ Do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Now what's the link? One minute Allah's talking about good news from him and the next minute Allah's saying don't obey the hypocrites and the disbelievers. Allah is reminding us that Iman has to go with good deeds. If we are saying La ilaha illallah and Allah knows how much I love him and oh my heart is full of love for Allah and we are obeying someone else, then we are not fooling Allah. Do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites and do not harm them. And put your trust in Allah. People say it's so difficult to obey Allah. It's so difficult to get up and pray. People laugh at you. Allah says, Tawakkal ala Allah. What are you afraid of? Trust in Allah. Sufficient is Allah as a disposer of affairs. O you who believe, when you marry believing women and then divorce them, before you have had intercourse with them, then no iddah have you to count in respect of them. So give them a gift and set them free in a beautiful manner. In other words, if a Muslim man marries a woman and he divorces her before consummation has taken place, then she will not have to take any iddah. But what is Allah saying? Give them something. And our men don't even give, you know, a wife that they're divorcing after 20 years their her mehr. Allah saying give them something and set them free in a beautiful manner. Don't oppress her by keeping her suspended so that she's applying for khula but you're not granting it to her. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed we have made lawful to you your wives to whom you have paid their mehr and those slaves whom your right hand possesses. Now if even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to give his wives a mehr, then what about Muslim men of today? And those slaves whom your right hand possesses, whom Allah has given to you, and the daughters of your paternal uncles, and the daughters of your paternal aunts, and the daughters of your maternal uncles, and the daughters of your maternal aunts, who migrated from Makkah with you, and a believing woman, if she offers herself to the Prophet, and the Prophet wishes to marry her, a privilege for you alone, خَالِصَةً لَكْ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, not for the rest of the believers. Indeed, we know what we have enjoined upon them about their wives and those slaves whom their right hands possess, in order that there should be no difficulty on you. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا And Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can postpone whom you will of them, and you may receive whom you will, and whomsoever you desire of those whom you have set aside, it is no sin on you. That is better that they may be comforted and not grieved, and they may all be pleased with what you give them. Allah knows what is in your hearts, and Allah is all-knowing, most forbearing. It is not lawful for you to marry other women after this, nor to change them for other wives, even though their beauty attracts you, except those slaves whom your right hands possess. And Allah is ever all watcher over things. Now we find that in these verses, the Prophet ﷺ's wives are mentioned. Now I'd like to speak about this briefly because this is one of the common things in which we've been brainwashed by the Orientalists. And people ask us, well, why did he have so many wives? And we hang our heads and we don't know where to look and we don't know what reply to give. Now before we speak about it, let's understand the marriages in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, Hazrat Ali once said, if you're ignorant of something, then you're its enemy. You hate that which you do not know about. So we don't even know the truth about it and still we pass judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 years old when he married his first wife, Hazrat Khadija. Hazrat Khadija was 40 years old at that time. It was a marriage of love. Not now, Zubillah, that, you know, he did it for her money or anything. He loved her dearly. And the proof of this is found that he stayed married to her alone for 25 years. At the end of which time, he was 50 and she was 65. Now, if, God forbid, the Prophet ﷺ had been some one of those men, you know, who needed a lot of women in his life, how come he spent his youth with just one woman alone? Then we find that when Hazrat Khadija died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was 50 odd years at that time, you know, past his youth, was married to Hazrat Sauda. Now Hazrat Sauda was not physically attractive and she was also old. It wasn't that he married a young 15-year-old. Then we find later on he was married to Hazrat Aisha. Now Hazrat Aisha was only 9 years old when he was married to her, but the ruksati did not take place. consummation took place several years later. Now, a lot of people object to this and say, why did he marry her when she was so young? See, we women are so ungrateful. If Hazrat Aisha had not spent her childhood with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would not have known numerous masail concerning our menstruation, concerning all the things that women go through. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her when she was 9 years old, she was able to ask him all the questions that we seek answers to. So this was the reason that this marriage took place. So Hazrat Aisha could then educate women about their spiritual life. She could educate women about their personal hygiene. You know how old she was when the Prophet died? She was only 18. And for 48 years she taught the Ummah. 48 years. She truly served Islam, and this was the service of Islam that Allah took from her. Then we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to Hazrat Hafsa and to Hazrat Umm Salima. We're all familiar with the story of Hazrat Umm Salima, how she was trying to migrate from Makkah and the kafirs prevented her, and her husband managed to leave, but her child was taken away from her. 1 year she spent without her husband and child, weeping, until someone took mercy on her and took her to Medina. And shortly after that, her husband died. And she was crying, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'll teach you a dua which if you read it, Allah will give you a better substitute. She said, I thought to myself, who can be better than Abu Salima, my husband? But she read the dua, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed for her. And she was so candid with him, she said, you should know that I am a very jealous person. And he said, I'll pray for you. And she said, I lose my temper very quickly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will grant you patience. So we find that that marriage too was done out of compassion, not out of lust, na'uzubillah. Then we find that Hazrat Zainab's marriage, and as we just read in the ayah, this was Allah's command, so that this senseless ritual should be negated. Then we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 4 slaves, and 3 out of these slaves he freed, Hazrat Rihanna, Hazrat Javeri, and Hazrat Safiya, and he married them. There was always a reason behind his marriages, sometimes strategic. Sometimes we find, for instance, that one of his wives came from a Jewish family. Now, the Arabs had this custom that you could not be an enemy of your son-in-law. So obviously the enmity was lessened. So we find that basically in every marriage there was a hikmah, which I don't have time to go into right now. What stands out above all is his justice, his love, his tenderness, which he gave to all 9 wives. Subhanallah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is for you a beautiful example in the Prophet of Allah. Muslim men can't even keep 1 wife well. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept 9 wives with justice, tenderness, compassion, love and affection. We saw the sort of freedom of speech that was allowed in his household. Now Allah says that this permission to marry more than 4 wives is only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that any Muslim man should get up and say, I'm going to follow the sunnah and have 9 wives. That's not allowed. And why isn't that allowed? Because just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has heavier responsibilities upon him, for instance, we find that the hajj was farz upon him, and it's not farz upon us. It's nafal for us to get up and pray at night. In the same way, there were certain laws that were different for him. And remember, Allah is a watcher over all things. So before we pass any blasphemous comments or make any derisive statements or joke about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, we need to remember that this was a decree of Allah's. O you who believe, do not enter the Prophet's houses unless permission is given to you for a meal. And then, not so early as to wait for its preparation. But when you are invited, enter. And when you have taken your meal, disperse without sitting for a talk. Indeed, such behavior hurts the Prophet, and he is shy of asking you to go. As we read yesterday, this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's gentleness, that he couldn't bear to hurt anyone's feelings, or he couldn't bear to tell anyone to leave. And he is shy of asking you to go, but Allah is not shy of telling you the truth. And when you ask his wives for anything you want, ask them from behind the screen. That is purer for your hearts and their hearts. And it is not right for you that you should hurt Allah's messenger. When we pass scornful comments about the sunnah, when we make fun of someone with a beard, then we are hurting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because we're making fun of his sunnah. Know that you should ever marry his wives after him. Indeed, with Allah, that should be an enormity. And we find that none of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married anyone else after his death. Whether you reveal anything or conceal it, indeed Allah knows everything. It is no sin on them if they appear unveiled before their fathers or their sons or their brothers' sons or the sons of their sisters or their own believing women or their female slaves. وَاتَّقِينَ اللَّهِ and be conscious of Allah. And indeed Allah is all witness over everything. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Indeed Allah sends His blessings on the Prophet and also His angels. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O you who believe, who are these believers? We are the believers, we are being addressed here. O you who believe, send your salat on Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you should greet Him with the Islamic way of greeting. Now we need to understand that some people have this confusion that what durood should we read upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we can see that Allah is telling us quite plainly that this is something we have to do. We learn that for one durood you get 10 mercies, 10 sawabs. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made durood compulsory for us in every salat that we read. So whether we're doing durood or not otherwise, at least we're doing durood at that time. But we should try and read a tasbih of durood every day. See, we find that there are different forms of durood that people have made. There's durood-e-taj and durood-e-tanjina and so on. Now we need to be very careful when we read these durood, because sometimes these durood have mushrikana words in them. Sometimes these durood, if you read the translation, you realize they're sort of imputing divine qualities to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they're exalting him to Allah's level. So don't just read a durood without looking at the translation. Now if you look at a durood and you find that the translation is fine, then you can read it, and it's like you're praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Arabic. But the best durood, the durood for which we know we get sawab, the durood which we know Allah loves, is durood Ibrahimi, which we read in our prayers. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahima wa ala ali Ibrahima innaka hamidun majid. And we have shorter forms of durood as well, such as Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Wa ali Muhammad, do you know that? Those who follow him and those who support his cause, the cause of Islam. Allah goes on to say, indeed those who hurt Allah and his messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter and has prepared for them a humiliating torment. Now what does this mean? How do we hurt Allah and his messenger? If we are saying the durood but we are not following the sunnah, then that's one form of hurting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's hypocrisy. For me to be reading durood all day long and never interested in following the sunnah, never interested in acting upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deed. And Allah says, for such people Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter, and He has prepared for them a humiliating torment. And those who hurt believing men and women undeservedly, they bear on themselves the crime of slander and plain sin. When we pass judgments on women or men and we say, oh, did you know that she did this? Allah says those who slander men and women undeservedly, they bear on themselves the crime of slander. Do you know the punishment for slandering someone without witnesses is 80 lashes. And the punishment for an unmarried adulterer is just 100 lashes. Just a difference of 20 lashes. اِحْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. They bear on themselves slander and a plain sin. So be careful of what you say. Ya ayyuha an-nabi, qul li azwajik wa banatik wa nisa'i al-mu'minin yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihin dhalika adna an yu'rafna fala yu'zain wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks all over their bodies. That will be better so that they should be recognized, so as not to be annoyed. And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Please mark this ayat. People say, where does it say in the Quran that you have to cover your head? This is the answer to that question. Now let's take a look at the ayat itself. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your wives. So we say, oh, it's just for the sahabiyat, but it doesn't end there. And your daughters. وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and tell the wives of the believers, the Muslim women, and we come under that category. Allah says, tell them what? يُذْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ, that they should draw their cloaks over their body. First, we need to understand what jalabib means, what jilbab means. Jilbab is a big cloak, like a chadar. Now, whether you stitch this chadar and wear it like a coat, or you wear it as just a huge loose chadar that covers you completely, the key word here is alayhinna, on top of themselves. We find that when this ayat was revealed, the sahabiyya, the Muslim women at that time, were up all night stitching their chadars because they had to go for fajr prayers in the morning. They didn't say, oh, we're not ready for it, or we're too young for it, or let's think about it. They were up all night stitching their chadars. Those who didn't have, borrowed from their friends. And they went in those chadars. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Now, I'd like to mention the two opinions which we've already done in Surah Nur. There are two opinions. One opinion is that the bare minimum is that you do complete hijab with no hair showing, your face showing, but a face without makeup, and your hands and your feet. This is the bare minimum. Some people say, oh, but you know, we wear loose clothes and our shape doesn't really show. You can generally tell the shape. It has to be something that envelopes your body, something that's covering you from head to toe, not your fitted clothes or your short shirts, either a coat or a chadar, that's up to you. The second opinion, and this is what the Sahabiyya did, was that the face has to be covered as well. Now we find that the Sahabiyya, even when they went for Hajj, and this is very important, because people say, well, if that's the case, then why is Allah said, don't cover your faces in the days of Hajj? That's not an argument that holds any water at all. Because the Sahabiyya, when they used to go for Hajj, they would have this protruding headgear. And when the caravans would pass by, they would draw the veil above that headgear. Now the cloth would not touch their faces, but they would still be doing niqab. Women say, oh, my heart is pure, that's important. You know, Allah knows that I don't have any evil in my heart. This is just for people, you know, who can't trust themselves. Are our hearts purer than the Sahabiyya? Is that what we're saying? That my heart is purer than the Sahabiyya and I love Allah more than she loved Allah, or more than the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Allah? Is that what we have the temerity to say? Look at the words, Nisa'il Mu'mineen. Tell the Muslim women, once they attain puberty, hijab is compulsory. And according to one opinion, niqab is also compulsory. Dhalika adna. Now you might think, no, why? I can't do it. It's too difficult. This is better. An yu'arafna, that they should be recognized. Our tragedy is we're not proud of our Muslim identity. We go abroad and we don't want to be known that we're Muslims. An yu'arafna. Allah says, have pride in your identity. You're Muslim women. You should be proud of this fact. Do you know what Amina Silmi said? My hijab is my badge of honor. How many of us perceive it as a badge of honor? Fala yu'zain. And then they won't be annoyed. They won't be persecuted. I'm telling you from personal experience that when you do hijab, people respect you more for it. You might have to hear taunts and jeers and jibes, and you might not be looking as glamorous as everyone else around you, but you get more respect. Fala yu'zain. They will not be harmed. They will not be persecuted. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is forgiving, most merciful. This is not oppression, this is rahmah, this is love. But we need iman to perceive it like that. If the hypocrites and those in whose hearts is a disease, and those who spread false news among the people in Medina, do not stop, we shall certainly let you overpower them. Then they will not be able to stay in it as your neighbors, but a little while. Accursed, they shall be seized wherever they are found and killed with a terrible slaughter. That was the way of Allah in the case of those who passed away of old, and you will not find any change in the way of Allah. يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. People ask you concerning the hour. Say, the knowledge of it is with Allah alone. What do you know? لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. It may be that the hour is near. And when does our day of judgment start? When we die. Indeed, Allah has cursed the disbelievers and has prepared for them a flaming fire where they will abide forever, and they will find neither a protector nor a helper on the day when their faces will be turned over in the fire, like when you're roasting something. Their faces will be turned over in the fire, first one side, then the other side. They will say, Ya laytana ata'na Allah wa ata'na Rasoola. Oh, would that we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the messenger. Not believed in Allah, obeyed Allah. And obeyed the messenger. And they will say, O our Lord, indeed we obeyed our chiefs and our great ones, and they misled us from the right way. My mother doesn't let me do it. My husband doesn't let me do it. Allah says, they will try and put the blame on them. We all know how to persuade our parents if we really want something. We all know how to persuade our husbands if we really want something. O our Lord, give them double torment and curse them with a mighty curse. Now this is what these people will be saying. O you who believe, do not be like those who annoyed Musa. But Allah cleared him of that which they alleged. And he was honorable before Allah. See, the Jews too, when they didn't want to obey, then they'd ask thousands of questions. So when women don't want to do it, no, but it doesn't say that you have to cover your head. And it doesn't say that you have to cover your face. Allah says, don't fall into this sort of nitpicking. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullah, wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, be conscious of Allah and speak the truth. Don't compromise and don't apologize. He will direct you to do good deeds and He will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. He has truly been successful, a great success. Now we can decide whether we wish to please people and be winners in people's eyes or a winner in Allah's eyes. The choice is ours. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Truly we offered al-amana. What is amana? Free will. The choice to obey Allah or disobey Allah. This Quran. To the heavens and the earth and the mountains. But they declined to bear it. And they were afraid of it. But man bore it. Why? Out of heedlessness. Arrogance. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Indeed, he is unjust and ignorant. When we dismiss the Qur'an, we've heard the Qur'an and we say, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah won't ask me about that. When we read the Qur'an and don't think that every word we've read will be either for us or against us. When will it be for us? When we act upon it. When will it be against us? When we just ignore it and neglect it and forget it. Indeed, man is ignorant and he is unjust. Who is this injustice to Allah? Not to Allah, to his own self. So that Allah will punish the hypocrites, the men and women, and the men and women who do shirk. Why is hypocrisy and shirk mentioned here? Only a hypocrite fears people more than Allah. Only a mushrik. And one form of shirk is when I'm obeying my own desires. No, I'm not ready for it. That's for form of shirk as well. Allah will punish such people. وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And Allah will forgive the believing men and women. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is forgiving, most merciful. For whom is He forgiving? For those who make a sincere effort, who do their utmost.